Genesis 1, verse 9. Let's be sure we're in fellowship. This is very challenging and very revelatory. This is dealing with what God put on the earth, when He put it on the earth, and how He did it. Obviously, He is the Creator, and He is able to bring something out of nothing or do it however He pleases. He consults no one with regard to these matters. And He set the earth up, and we come down to the dry land and vegetation day. Verses 9 through 13. Now notice all the repetitious, and God said. Moses wrote this, of course. And he narrates here in this narration, let the waters below the heavens. All right, so our focus is water that we are very familiar with called oceanic waters or topical waters on the face of the earth. Let the waters below the heavens be gathered into one place. All right, be gathered. Niphel, imperfect. It means to collect or gather things. Gawa. The waters, literally, we have two words in the Hebrew. It means from below, from under. Min and the word takath, literally from below. Let the waters below or from below the heavens, everything up above, and that be gathered into one place. Place is, we saw it in our Ecclesiastes 1:5 verse, makom, place, locale, into one locale. And let the dry land appear, God's sovereignty over the earth's crust, over the dry land, the mantle, or whatever you, however you want to express that in geological terms. And let the dry land appear. Well, that would be the Niphel imperfect of the verb to see, and appear in the Niphel is passive, so let it appear. Where it was not able to be seen before, let it appear, and it was so. Dry land, by the way, Yabesheth. It's found in Exodus 4:9. That's wrong, that citation there. That should be 14, I believe, and not 134. 14, 16, 22, 29, 15, and 9. In other words, that is all dealing with the dry land the Jews walked over that had previously been submerged in water all that time. And then the Joshua 4:22, they walked across the Jordan on dry land. When God put a stoppage on the water flow on that river. So, excuse me just a minute. Exodus, I'm going to read the Exodus one because not that it contributes, but it only contributes the idea that the land is dry versus wet and covered with water. Exodus 4:9. And this is to convince the Jewish population in Goshen that God sent Moses, and He gave them the ability to do these signs. You do this sign, but they still don't believe you, or heed the witness of the first sign, that they may believe the witness of the last sign. But if they not believe even these two signs or heed what you say, then you shall take some water from the Nile. You gotta go down, get a bucket of water, and pour it on the dry ground. And the water which you take from the Nile will become blood on the dry ground. He's trying to convince the Jews that Moses was sent to deliver him. So it's used of dry ground there. Probably those other citations I gave you are simply, some of them are dealing with the flood. The Jonah one, of course, is he gets indecorously vomited up on the dry land. And it was so. This is just a repeat to say it happened, just like it says here. God called the dry land earth. Okay, he names it. Now, if you're carefully going through this cosmology, you'll see the things God names and the things he doesn't name. Some of the things he doesn't name, he leaves it to humans to name. But he will establish the name in his sovereignty that he wants it to be called. He called the dry land earth. And the gathering of the waters he called seas. Earth is Eretz. Familiar with that one. Found 2,505 times in the Old Testament. Wow. Eretz. God called the dry land earth and the gathering of the waters, the collection, the word gathering is actually a noun with a prefix. It means a collection of whatever. Mikwa. The collection or the collection of the waters. The grouping, however you want to say that. The waters. He called seas, yam. The interesting word about yam is it's the Hebrew word for a direction, west. West. But also is a word for sea, because west of Israel was a sea. I guess that's the reason. Maybe not, but that's that. And God saw that it was good. It was, in other words, project completed. Phase one. This day was a two-part project. I presume that the first 12 hours were devoted, I don't know, but I presume that the first 12 hours were devoted to the rising up of Pangaea and water running off. And you know what water does when it runs off? It's certainly that kind of volume of water. To just, God use his power to just pull this continent up. Just this lift. Continental lift or something, whatever you want to call it. It's continental lift, and he pulls his whole thing up with his power. And this water is running all off, what water always does, seek its lowest level. That's been our experience, and that's what water always does, seeks its lowest level. Water, unless it's forced, does not flow uphill. Of its own accord, it only goes down. Then God said, see, this is the first day in which two things, because you'll be given a pop quiz on this afterwards. Because I want you to know this. Then God said, let the earth sprout vegetation. He actually said this. Sprout is dasha, hifyild imperfect. Let the earth cause to produce, let sprout the earth. There's your new term. There's the term, eretz. Deshe, which is a cognate of this, vegetation. It's a little tricky. Sprout vegetation. Plants is herb. Eshev. Herbs. Plants yielding seed. Yielding seed is the hifyel participle of the verb to sow seed. Yielding seed. Fruit trees on the earth bearing fruit. Fruit trees. ETZ, tree, also the word for wood. Fruit is PERI. And the word bearing is du, asa. Manufacturing fruit. Producing fruit. This is the first life form that this earth of this kind, of our regime, experience. If there was some earlier, I don't know. But this is bearing fruit after their kind. There is the relative pronoun Asher, there. And kind is after their kind, preposition lamed with the noun, which I did not write out, and here I think it's men. Just a second. And my apologies. Bearing fruit after kind with seed in them. It's tricky in the Hebrew, but it's straightforward. Seed is zera, in preposition in, and again upon the earth. Word order here is driving me crazy for a minute. And it was so. I should have looked at it ahead, but I didn't. So this is his decree, and this is what he says. planting. He's the gardener now. And he wants this newly formed land with the waters running off. He wants plants on it. All kinds of plants, all sizes, all kinds. It's amazing, isn't it? The variety and of things that have popped out of this earth can all trace their origins back to here. All of it. In let's say half a day. The earth brought forth vegetation. Now normally that is the result of, you know, a plant popping up out of the ground, germination, little tiny thing growing to whatever size, whatever it is. But we don't have time for that. We do not have time for that. We have to have this ready and up and running 100% so Adam and Eve aren't in a garden with little tiny plants all over. So they got big trees and everything in place. See how crazy we look in the eyes of the world? I mean, really. We're fools for Christ is what we are. That's just crazy. I don't know. I've never read in the evolution books on evolution how we got plants. They kind of leave some things out. Because they kind of had to be here because things have to eat. You know? And they have to have food. So, my experience, it's been a long time ago. And yes, I was taught it in detail. I say detail. I was taught it in my little high school in Hot Springs, South Dakota. I had a biology class. I had lab. I cut open a frog. Looked inside it. Now, I had the textbook. The first part of the textbook was all about how it all got here. And then after that, it got reasonable. Because they're just telling what the parts of a flower are. Calyx, blah, 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 blah. Okay, these are the parts of our cool. So, you know, and then human anatomy came along. But they had to have that picture of these primates working their way up to humans. You have Neanderthal man, it's a joke. But anyway, I didn't know any better. I wasn't even a Christian then. I had no Bible background. I'm just, you know, my favorite course was Western civilization, and in particular, ancient Western civilization. It must have been me kind of gravitating to what I was going to be studying in the Bible. I just wanted antiquity, and I liked the great empires of the past, and all that business intrigued me. You know, I remember with Alexander the Great, long before I knew he was the Antichrist, that he wanted to conquer the whole world. He had a lot of ambition. And he wanted to conquer the whole world, and of course he got stopped in India because his soldiers said, we're done with this. I mean, enough is enough. We want to go back to Greece. And they mutinied, and he pouted for 2 weeks. And then that big adventure of coming back. He didn't want to just come back the easy road. Oh, not Alexander. We're going to take a group of you through the worst damn desert you can even imagine. People are going to die right and left, but we made it. You know, but in the story, it was, I want to reach the end of the earth. I want to see where it ends. So he sure didn't believe it was a globe. He had the Greek cosmology in front of him. And that was the whole concern with, you know, Christopher Columbus sailed the ocean blue in 1492. Was he going to fall off the end? See, because at that time, this thing hadn't even got really started yet. It built its whole historical momentum over humanity. And all humanity is under the spell. So, as Paul said to the Galatians with regard to the false teachers, break the spell. Bam! Well, it's going to kill your fun. Well, you can't get excited about the next Star Wars sequel. But, you know, we broke your spell with regard to Christmas. And some of you still do it anyway. You realized it probably wasn't appropriate to tell Johnny or your grandson, what'd Santa get for you? I told you the story, Dennis. See, this doctrine's fun. If you're on the wrong side of it, it isn't any fun. You get on the wrong side of it, it gets to be fun. Somebody's telling me one of the Christian schools out here. Some preacher got up there around Christmas time. You know, he's just a fundy. You know how they do. Oh, Jesus is real. Jesus is real. Santa isn't. That place just was dead silent. You thought he dropped his pants and stepped out from behind the pulpit. And you know what the coward did? He starts backpedaling. That was their chapel for the day. Huh, serves them right. I mean, I'm kind of mean, aren't I? It serves them right. They tell their little boy, little kids, all about Jesus, supposedly. And then they come on with a Santa Claus scene. And see, we blew that whole thing to hell and back. It wasn't even the right time of year. It's pagan. The pagans, well, we'll convert to Christianity, but we're going to have our fun. So would you let us keep Saturnalia? Yes, yes, but we can't call it that. That's when Christ was born. Who makes this stuff up? People make stuff up. There's names for these people in the Bible. They're geniuses. Genius mentality. Don't be impressed with genius mentality. Get away from genius mentality. Now, if it does something good, fine. You know, this guy's a genius, so they can play a good musical instrument. Okay, great. Or they write good music. That's fine. But this type of genius that is wicked, and Satan's got it down, because he's one. His wisdom was corrupted. And I will sell the human race, because I got to hide God. And I got to make their earth look insignificant out here in this vastness. But I can't have that. I can't have that. I can't have that other model out in front of people, because I can't sell them anything. This didn't evolve. Big Bang. Go online and see the history of the Big Bang deal. No, really. You will find it goes back a ways to this Jesuit Catholic guy all dressed up in his garb. A Christian is advocating the explosion of something or nothing. I was listening to these guys being interviewed. They're really anti-God, by the way. They want nothing to do with God. It's perfect. It's a perfect parallel to the people at the Tower of Babel. They were rebels. We are going to build a tower that reaches to heaven. What are they thinking? You can read about their tower in the book of Jasher. You say, what's that? It's a book mentioned in the Old Testament. It is not said in the book of Jasher. It's a historical document that has merit. There's the ones I know about are Jasher, 1st and 2nd Maccabees. Oh, and you'll love this one. And this one is quoted by Peter in 2nd Peter, the book of Enoch. Now, I'm not saying everything in there is perfect. It's not canonical, but he quotes from there. And Enoch has a lot to say about this vaulted dome. Weird, strange. It's a Jewish publication. Now some of the apocryphal books are just absolute, junk. They're not all created equal. You know, there's historical documents that are good. They may have some errors in it. They weren't inspired, but somebody wrote history. So you can find online and look up and read the book of Jasher. And as in it is a description of their building of the Tower of Babel. This wasn't some little step pyramid. That would be about as big as this property. Oh, it was monstrous. What do they want to do? They know there's a throne up over their head. And they want to assault it. You say, that's nuts. Yeah, but it would really be nuts if we were on a globe and it's millions of light years away. But if it's right up there, and they actually believe that much. And when that all failed, they cranked up a religion. And they said, all these stars and the sun and everything, the gods inhabit those. And so we have sun worshippers, moon worshippers, star worshippers, blah, 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 blah. Because they would not accept God. They were rebels. That's the classic deal. So in the last days, we have rebels. I showed someone a poster, original poster for the European Union. Get this. They haven't forgot it. This poster has on it the incomplete Tower of the Babel, has a guy, a strong guy, with a hammer like this. And that building that's in Strasbourg, go look it up online. Architecturally, you know how it's designed? An incomplete Tower of Babel. It's modern architecture, steel and glass. Really? You got no other ideas for a building than to build an incompleted tower? So the final rebellion is, we're going to do what we didn't do back before. We are going to break God's bands asunder, and we are going to establish our own new world order and our new society with our own morals and our own ways. These people are rebels. And they are. It's almost sickening to listen to some of them being interviewed, the way they talk about God. And that Tyson guy that's the public relations guy for NASA, he says, I'm through with God. All of this stuff came out of the same source. Know it. Tell yourself, I do not want this crap in my soul anymore. I do not want this darkness in my soul, God. Get it out of there. Show me the way. If Jack's right about this, my pastor teacher's right. He's been right so many times and shown me things. If that's right, get me out of this. I don't care how far you've got to slap me up and down. I don't want to be stubborn. I don't want to be, you know, whatever it is. I'm praying for you. One of the things I plead with you in this chapter is, you can't shoehorn the Copernican, Big Bang, whatever you want to call it, into this chapter. It doesn't fit. You can try. I tried. But I was always bothered. Now I know why. Every time in my life, my Christian life, there's something I'm struggling with, the Bible, there's something not right. So I just got to pray and wait on God to show me what's right. I know this is a shocker. Because any time we ever heard, me included, I'm no different, anybody espousing a flat earth and the blah, 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 oh, they're idiots, those are pale idiots, they're crazy. Well, nobody ever said, well, did you ever look at what they're saying? No, they're idiots. That's where I had two believers pin me down, not literally. They gave me no drugs. I wanted to have a drink afterwards, but I had no drugs. And they said, you believe in inerrancy of Scripture, don't you? That it's accurate in every respect. That's what you stand for, right? Yes. Now what? And they took me to Joshua 10. Not open the Bible, but just cited it. What's that verse say? Okay, well, I wasn't convinced at that point. I hadn't jumped in the bandwagon. I had to sit back and listen and pray and listen and pray and carry this in my soul for 2 years. I'd wake up in the middle of the night thinking about this and calling out on God and being assured that He will not let me down. He's never done it before, and He isn't going to do it now. I would not slam the door to save one person in this church as a friend and keep them on board. Because if I shrink back, if you teach this, right? Oh, not that. And I know that's right. You say, well, what about the people that died and were in Bible class and didn't know this? They're okay. They're not culpable. They're fine. They operated on what they knew. And they didn't know this. They're okay. I don't read anything into my thinking everybody's bad and all because they didn't have this before. Why didn't the big seminaries, the big evangelical seminaries, get this right? They taught dispensationalism. They taught Bible prophecy. They taught inerrancy of Scripture. They taught blah, blah, blah. They tended not to have chronology right. They, for whatever reasons, they couldn't pinpoint the Exodus. And they certainly didn't pinpoint where Moses and group company crossed the Red Sea. We got that in time. Because when I was doing Exodus the first time, I would say, why would these dummy Jews say, when we were in Egypt and you're in Egypt? I mean, they were nuts, but they weren't that crazy. When we were in Egypt, we had blah, blah, blah. Well, if they crossed the Suez, they were in Egypt. See, this is how you put things together. Something's way wrong here. But I just had to roll on, didn't I? until God had a useful idiot out there that actually went diving, literally, wetsuits, right off of the Nueva coast. And that's where they crossed. So many times it's this way. And I do not make this up. I've been praying and praying before this ever came to my attention. If there's something big we're missing, I want the little stuff and all the other stuff would be nice too. But if there's some really big, glaring deal, God, get it to me. I mean, get it to me. James 1, the verse that says, if any man asks, you'll come through for him. Because I want to know it and I want to set it in front of positive volition. So we don't have to get up there and go, oops. God, in the last days, things are coming down. This deal here, we'll get to the grass. We'll talk about grass Tuesday night. But this whole chapter stands right at the head of the Bible. So many people would not believe the Bible because this is nuts. Do you blame them? Imagine you have an intellectually honest person out there reads this and says, Where do you get a solar system here? You got stars, moon, and sun on that D+4. And you got grass before it. You're nuts. And none of this fits. And don't you even know any history? The Hebrews operated like the peoples all around them with the geocentric domed earth. Look it up online. I can't believe the Bible. It's just a bunch of fairy tales and stories. But now that it's getting proven that this other is full of it and this works, they're coming to Christ. They're getting saved. That's what it took. It's a witnessing tool, but you got to be convinced yourself. I'm not asking you to go out here. Somebody in the church said that they were out with their kid at martial arts, and there was a couple guys there, and I don't know why they were talking. They weren't talking religion or anything particular. They said, "Oh, the earth's flat. It's obvious as hell." Where'd they get that? And they weren't wacko, weirdo people. You say, "Well, I know somebody that's a flat earther, and he's a real nut." Well, I know somebody, I've known people that go to Maranatha Church that were a nut. Well, what that is supposed to mean? And he's making all kinds, and he's doing, that doesn't mean anything. The truth is, you know, a gold coin in a pile of you know what is a gold coin. That doesn't follow. There are people that, you know, so I know nuts on all sides of issues. Otherwise, that means nothing. What means is the content. See, that's a distraction. That'll throw you off base, try to dissuade you. Continue to give me a chance and pray about it. Well, you're going to lose people from the church. I've lost people all my life. It's a story of my life. If I get my larger congregation all back up in heaven, you're going to be really impressed. You're going to be real impressed. I got a mega church. So, here we are. Got to ask yourself the question, why am I resistant to this? Because I like science fiction movies? It's infested in all the songs. You expect it. You like it because you put so much stock in it and said so much and all the rest, and now it all comes crumbling down around your ears. No, it's about the truth. It's about following the truth. And so that's what your pastor teacher is up against. And the establishment, the decree followed by the result, and then the statement, there was evening and there was morning, a third day. Okay, we're on track here. We are on track for the third day and all that went on. Now, there's nothing new here with regard to what we noted here. I do have a little time left. I don't want to quit too early. I know you're all going to run out and do your Father's Day thing. And I didn't have a very good Father's Day message, but anyway. I was thinking of some examples in the Bible, but you probably wouldn't like it. The judgment that befell the earth. That's great. The judgment that befell the pristine earth, verses 1 through 2, included a watery cataclysm that left the terra firma submerged in water all over the flat surface of the earth. No land was visible. 2. In addition to this, the waters below were a solid sheet of ice. On deed 3, God exerted his power over the submerged terra firma, raising up a massive continent, Pangaea. That's a term that has been used, allowing the waters to seek their lowest level, forming massive basins or basin of waters dubbed seas. See, if you have a flat surface and you have indentations, it'll hold water, like your coffee cup or a saucer. It takes that to hold it in place. You tip it, it runs off. That's not difficult. Separate continents were the byproduct as a result of the cataclysm known as Noah flood. God did some more geological work at the flood. Oh, big time. And he doesn't need gravity to do it. He does this by his power. This wasn't done by some big object more dense than the earth or whatever floating over and pulling stuff up. This was done by a direct divine fiat, just like the plants. There wasn't some spaceship that brought plants in. They didn't come down out of the sky. All these things are done directly by the power of God Almighty. Let the waters below be gathered into one place is God expressing his sovereign will over earth's ocean. Now, I don't think he had to do too much there. I don't know. Water's just going to run like crazy. If it's pulled up, it's going to cut gorges. There's a deal out you can watch. Is Genesis History on Netflix. And one of the things they show in there, dealing with geological stuff. Because we had the geological ages like we had all these other ages. Things are so old. They said, these are scientists. They said, no. You go to the Grand Canyon, you get these layers all the way up, and they're demarked. If this was billions of years old or millions, you wouldn't have that demarcation. It'd go away. Furthermore, there was a big canyon cut as a result of the explosion of Mount St. Helens. And it did it in a day or two. Boom. It cut this into the earth. So it doesn't take millions of years for this stuff. And the Grand Canyon is a result of this, some natural guy that runs in the Parks Department, he out there giving you some lecture, this river cut this over millions and millions of years. It's fairly little. They cut that whole thing, huh? Noah's flood did it. Cut it. Reshaped the earth. So the first time, this is the first flood. Well, the first flood is Genesis 1-2. This is a flood. So, one place, let the waters below be gathered in one place as God expressing his sovereign will over the earth's oceans. See, all the pagans came along and said there was a God for this and a God for that. No, he's the God over all. One place, noun, featured in connection with Ecclesiastes 1:5, suggests a vast area for the newly formed oceanic basin. 7. The second let be is directed at the divine will over the emerging, rising, newly established continent, essential for plant, animal, and human habitation. This place is a mess. It's got to be fixed up so humans can live in it and animals and thrive. As the landmass rose up, the water naturally sought its lowest level, establishing antediluvian topography, which is different from the topography today. Same thing at the cessation of the flood event. That's all right. We had that all right back in the past, except the mechanics is wrong. We did not get an astral visitor. The astral visitor is God. And it was so. Is the record of a successful conclusion to the first part of what transpired on D+3. Verse 10 follows the pattern of D+2 where God established his specific terminology for the waters and the dry land. The one designated earth, the other seas, Eretz and Yamin. This whole operation took place in a 24-hour period, presumably, but not any more than that. Once again, he pronounced his work in establishing a singular continent and a massive water as basin as good. This is a good thing. Good for man, good for the situation that he foresaw. He approved of his work. I like that. Yeah, I did that. It's good. Well, you could say that as a human. I did that. I pulled that off. You know, we're humble enough to say, God bless me. But yeah, that came out right. I fixed that recipe. It hit the nail on the head. It's perfect. So it's good. So on this day, our Tuesday, of the first week of human history, God accomplished two tasks, only one on days 1 and 2. And we'll pick up with the second task if you're willing to hang in there, and I pray you will be. Thank you, Father, for the time. May God, the Holy Spirit, enlighten us in Jesus' name. Amen.